He might show up. I invited him to just hop on.
Is he like real upset about this? Is he gonna like talk about this passive aggressively in the group chat?
I hope that he shows up, and then when he does, we can be like, oh, look who's here.
Here we go.
You're welcome, Trailer Park Podcast.
Nathan, worried or excited?
I'm excited.
Daniel, it's a horror movie. Worried or excited?
God damn it, I will kill myself. Worried.
Are you worried or excited?
An invitation for rigid and spastic penetration.
You seem satisfied. Affirmative?
The trailer made me emotional.
Real lumpy flesh dragger.
Raising awareness about masturbation addiction.
Don't get it on my territory. I can't stand seeing someone do it worse.
Oh my God, here it comes.
It's so wet.
Oh my God, it's coming.
Trailer Park Podcast, episode 152. I'm here with the Carvers. This is a Nathan, Amanda, and Daniel podcast because the intern had a little spaz and slammed the door and walked out.
Okay.
Where do you think you're going to find another job, you dick?
This, like once every 10 years.
I'm tired of you guys treating me this way. Yeah? Well, there's the door.
He'll be back probably before the end of this show.
Yeah. Yeah, at least last time he abandoned us because he was getting laid.
God, that was so long ago, and that was the last time.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, he bailed on us tonight just because he's feeling a little bit petty, I guess. But that's fine.
He's been taking a lot of heat in the group chat about his failures at Crosswords, so, you know, I understand he's a bit salty.
Well, yeah, let's tell the cool billion, probably down to a cool thousand by now, what's been going on here. Yeah, so Chelsea and I started doing New York Times crossword puzzles, and we learned that Monday was the earliest, so we got ourselves some Monday crosswords for the New York Times. And then we infected Amanda with this crossword disease. I've been told she was waking up at night doing crosswords in the middle of the night. Is this true?
I have done that. It's not something that happens often.
Okay.
But, you know, you can't fall asleep or you're tossing and turning. Like, oh, might as well take a peek again.
See, that's that. Hey, and that's the thing with crosswords. Sometimes you overthink, overcomplicate. If you step away, you come back, you see it properly.
That's right.
Yeah. But the problem.
But not if you're intern, because he's a dumbass.
Yes.
Right. Well, so we'll toss a picture of the crossword into the group chat if you know, we have a little block that we're struggling with, or we just, you know, have some tough clues that maybe the rest of the group might know that we don't know. An intern always comes in real hot, like real passionate, like damn.
Like he is certain.
Yes. Yeah. Like 46 across is this.
And you get swept up in that. 70.
Yeah. Yeah. The confidence of it. You get swept up in it and you just write it in. And then it's wrong.
Yeah, next thing you know,
wrong, like,
you can't figure anything else
out. 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, it's brutal. And then when you're wrong about something in a crossword, it just fucks with the rest of the crossword.
Oh, yeah, it throws everything else off. Mm-hmm. It's like tossing a rock in the engine.
Yeah, it's a big problem. It's a big problem.
It really kind of, you know, encapsulates intern's entire life. Like, it's the rock in the engine, you know?
It's like, it's this.
Is this podcast gone to shit? Because the intern.
I wonder if he did that in his jobs, like at his places of work, where he's just like, it's this. And then it like causes an accident and problems, and everybody's like,
who made this decision?
That's why he now is just like a watcher. Like, he can't even be involved in things because we just need you to stay up in the rafters.
Yeah. What was his justification? It fit. The words fit. Yeah.
And he's like, most of the time, Fitz, it's right. What?
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with baseball. The clue says baseball in it.
Oh. All right. We are on a tangent here.
We're on a tangent. That's right. Yeah. Number one.
It'd be hilarious, too, though, if this is the episode that, like, took off and, like, really pushed us over, the one that he missed.
Everybody's like, these guys are hilarious.
Oh. Did you download the trailers?
They dropped that anchor.
Download the trailer.
He doesn't have the trailers. We're all disorganized. Well, Daniel, they're on the Google Drive. Do you need some guidance? We can take a second here and just give you some guidance. That's where they've been the last couple times. It's because they shut down the Amazon Drive on us.
Yeah, I like enough of that.
I think you have to go to a web page, honey.
Yeah, I kind of forgot like even where to go.
Nathan, we need you to walk us through this.
Do you think
GoogleDrive.com?
drive.google.com. I could maybe just...
Oh, it's too late for you to just send a link.
Is it too late?
There they are.
You found it? Oh, nice.
Yeah, there they are.
You got it. Good job.
I can't believe we're here. 152 times we've done this.
Well, you didn't do it 152 times.
I think I've done it like 100 times, though.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Yeah, you were here. I remember back in the old Southpaw days with Jake. I think that was like episode 30 or 28 or something. The obsession with Jake started early.
It did.
Yeah.
It continues to this day.
Yeah, it's still strong. Let's talk about 152 very quickly, because I know you guys love this part of the podcast.
It was my favorite part. That's why I come.
Yeah, the numerology.
Yeah.
I suppose people turn it off right after this.
First of all, the number of surface points on a 6x6x6 cube is 152. I don't know if you knew that. It's a refactorable number, since it is divisible by the total number of divisors that it has.
Yeah, almost made it through that.
Almost. Okay. Imagine a person expressing 152 energy. They tend to resonate well with directing business operations. They are materialistic, but also have a sense of balance between material pursuits and the immaterial aspects of life. Going it alone is comfortable, yet heading a group with material goals is more satisfying.
Would you consider someone expressing 152 energy as having big dick energy?
Oh, that's a good question. Resonate well with directing business operations, getting shit done. Materialistic, but they'd be quick to say, like, fuck this, right?
Yeah, yes. Totes.
Big dick energy. Confirmed.
Confirmed. Case closed.
Yeah, case closed. Because going it alone is comfortable, yet heading a group, not being in a group, heading a group with material goals is more satisfying. That's big dick energy right there.
It is. Fundamentally. Okay. Just.
We're good. We're good. We should talk about some stuff. And I am creating a new genre of movie.
Okay.
I'm calling it Licorice Pizza, in honor of Licorice Pizza.
Oh, did you watch that?
I've seen it, yes, some time ago. But I recently watched two movies that reminded me of Licorice Pizza. And the reason why is because Licorice Pizza is a movie that chooses a tone and then doesn't waver from that tone, and pretty much nothing happens. And you feel at the end like this is bullshit. Like, it was a decently well-made movie, sure. It was done by a good director, whatever. But it just didn't say anything. It didn't do anything. It just, like, tried to be self-important with its tone and its cinematography or whatever. And at the end of it, you're just like, ugh, what a waste of my time.
Just an atmosphere movie.
Yeah. So I figure every time I watch a movie that's like that, I'm just like, ugh, well, that was a slice of licorice pizza.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's how I want to approach it. So I recently watched a couple of Oscar-nominated movies. It's a shame the intern isn't here to hear all this criticism. But American Fiction and The Holdovers. So The Holdovers won Best Supporting Actress for the lady who plays the cook, basically, that's lost her son. Her son died in the war. And American Fiction got nominated and won for Best Original Screenplay. And both of them were slices of licorice pizza. Just boring, pointless, not worth watching. So don't watch them. And don't watch licorice pizza either.
Roger that.
Way ahead of you. I didn't even know two movies existed.
Okay. Carry on. What have you guys watched?
Well, last night, and we were hoping that you had watched it already as well, but last night we watched Roadhouse.
Oh, yes, I've seen it.
Roadhouse.
But it's one of our trailers.
Oh.
So...
Well, then we'll watch the trailer and talk about it.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. That's great that you guys have watched it. This is going to be a fun conversation. It'll be the first time ever where we watch a trailer that we've all seen the movie for.
Everybody's already watched.
Yeah, be the first time ever. I think there's been ones where one of us has seen it, but not all of us. That's wonderful.
And just to like add, you know, some oomph to that conversation that's coming. I have also relatively recently watched the original Roadhouse as well.
Oh, tried to watch that this morning.
So we can like, you know, do some comparisons, some like where did we deviate, where yes. did we stay through.
Oh, this is going to be great. Yeah, we're going to get into it. Okay, well then we'll rush through the rest of this round too. We just threw on Anyone But You, starring Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, just as fodder while we were like making dinner and doing other stuff. And oh my God, that movie is horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, but it's horrendous in a fun way. Like every bullshit decision the movie makes, you're just like, oh, fuck off. Are you kidding me? You just attack it and yell at the screen a lot. It's kind of fun to interact with. It's really stupid. So much of it. And so much hokey, like tropey shit. It's great. For like a rom-com. They're trying to bring back like the 90s rom-com. There's like the black friend that's making all the stupid racial remarks. There's the parents that are way too excited. Like Dermot Mulroney is one of the parents. He's like so happy and oh my God. I just can't even get into it. Anyway.
Then do we need to discuss Dune?
We can.
I mean, we all saw Dune. We don't have to get deep into it.
Don't have to get deep into it. I felt like... Is it weird of me? Am I going to get attacked if I say that I liked part one more?
No.
I'm not going to attack you for it.
Just because...
I don't really have a strong...
I see it as a complete whole,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's probably fair to say.
Yeah, I'm definitely not like a, oh, so much... I'm like, really? It seems like it was on par with the quality of the first one to me. So yeah, I don't really have strong feelings either way. But yes, I did see it twice in the theaters, which I think is a record for me for a 3-hour film. And
yeah,
and I had a great time. As a Dune fan, this is like a very complete. I feel very relieved. I feel like I've been like, you know, massaged at a parlor and given a very thorough and proper happy ending. And everyone's like, oh, Dune Messiah is on the horizon and he's gonna come back. And they're all, I'm like, yeah, that's great. I'm very satisfied right now.
I'm fine for now.
Yeah. I do not need it anymore. And this is great. Thank you for it.
Yeah. I think he said he's not going to do Dune Messiah unless he feels like he can make it better than the second one.
Sure.
And box office wise, they've made enough money to justify doing it. They've already made more money than Dune Part 1. So I think financially it would be greenlit. So have to keep our eye on it. I personally would like to see Villeneuve take a break and do something else.
Think he wants to. That's what I hope he does too. I think he needs to take a break.
Yeah, these things, these projects are so epic and grand that I'm like, even as a mega fan, I'm like, yes, please step away and do something smaller or comedic or, you know, whatever you want.
One thing that Dune Part 2 did for me was bring my attention to Austin Butler more.
Fade Rotha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I watched him on Graham Norton a little while ago. We were watching an episode with Michelle Yeoh. Because we like her. And she was talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once. And he was talking about Elvis. And they showed clips of him in Elvis. And I've never seen Elvis. And I don't know that I want to watch Elvis. But Austin Butler might be a chameleon of an actor. Just because in Elvis, it looks like he's doing a decent impression of Elvis. And then in this one, he's doing like the speech patterns of Stellan Skarsgård. Like he's mimicking the Baron.
Yeah.
It's the way he talks. He's mimicking the way he talks. So I'm like fairly impressed by Austin Butler at the moment. I will say
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of him for a long time to come, as long as he's not like a weird sexual deviant or something.
Right. Or eats people.
Yeah.
Right. Is he a...
he's an Army Hammer.
Right. Is he in the Furiosa thing?
No.
Like with this chameleon nature of himself, but clearly he likes to character act.
Yeah. So I think he's going to start showing up and
he'd be a great fit in that universe.
Yeah, he would.
Some sort of like, you know, maybe neutral wacko.
Yeah. I have one thing that I wanted to say about Dune that I felt like they were checking off boxes of prophecy. They were like rushing through a checklist of, okay, he's this. And it was kind of weird for me. And I was like, wow, this is a fucking ripoff of Wheel of Time. Unfucking believable, right? Okay. Have either of you seen Argylle?
No.
It is... I have some things to say here. So why, if you're Matthew Vaughn and you've made a successful well-executed, R-rated spy series of movies, why would you make another spy franchise and direct it in a similar way with a PG rating and no gore, and choose Bryce Dallas Howard as your lead? Like, why are you trying to, why are you trying to make Bryce Dallas Howard happen? Like, it's not happening.
I want to know why Hollywood in general is trying to make her happen. I don't find her very, I don't find her to be that good of an actress.
Just daughter? Oh. Just nepotism?
She's super forgettable. And I'm like, oh, it's just because you're related to so-and-so is how it feels.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of, you know, whatever with her. Like, I didn't really care one way or the other. But I went back and watched a couple of the Jurassic World movies recently because I had the riff tracks for them. And holy shit, does she stand out as very bad.
Yeah.
In those Jurassic World movies.
Can I ruin Argyle for you?
Yeah, I don't care.
So she's a writer writing Argyle books. And Henry Cavill is the Argyle agent in the books. Sam Rockwell, they lead you to believe, is the real-life Argyle, who meets her on the train and protects her because the things that she's writing in the book are predicting the future so well that the actual evil agency, Spectre-type agency, wants to kill her, or at least find out what she's going to write next. So Right. They, you know, they're coming after her and Sam Rockwell is helping her. But the actual twist is that she's been brainwashed and that she is the actual Argyle. And she starts flipping around with Matthew Vaughn cinematography. Bryce Dallas Howard starts doing this, like kicking people in the face and getting into action sequences and doing the full gamut. There's one point where she puts knives on her feet because she used to be good at skating, and then she does a bunch of figure skating moves.
What?
And beats the shit out of people. It's absolutely insane.
Like the slits and throats.
My mouth is agape as I'm watching Matthew Vaughn do this, and I'm like, this was a fucking mistake, bro. Like, what are you? You already have a spy movie. What are you making this lesser thing for with these twists and turns? And Henry Cavill is barely in it at all. Sometimes when Sam Rockwell's in the middle of a fight and she's watching him fight, it like switches because she sees her character that she wrote. But none of it was writing fiction. It was like things that were in her memory from being an agent, right? That's why she was able to predict the future. But anyway.
So she's like Atomic Blonding and Jason Bourne-ing.
What I came away with was they already did this for way less money, and it was way more entertaining, and it was Gina Davis in The Longest Goodnight, where she forgot who she was and she remembered who she was. There was actually a difference between, you know, homemaker Gina Davis and badass assassin Gina Davis. There was a huge fucking difference between the two, acting-wise. Bryce Dallas Howard and Agent R. Kyle is, like, something, whatever.
And Gina Davis is like a formidable force.
Yeah,
like, yeah. You feel like she could snipe people and beat ass.
Yeah. Yeah. But Bryce Dallas Howard, she acts the same. Like, there's no deviation between. I don't remember.
She's a pretty actress.
Oh, so she's like sort of like.
Yeah, she's the lead actress.
Taking a selfie way exactly. Every time she's someone.
Exactly. She's the lead actress, and she doesn't change anything, except for the fact that she can now do action sequences and figure skate around and kick people in the face. Anyway, what a travesty, because, you know, most of the movie is executed fine because it's Matthew Vaughn and everything. I think that's why it gets a 6 out of 10, because for the most part it's done well, but it's just like off, and it's primarily off because of Bryce Dallas Howard and the fact that he's doing a PG-13 version of something he's already done an R rating for that is way better. Like, Kingsman's way better. Okay.
I would love to say that I've watched more stuff because it's been so long, but yeah. I feel like we haven't really dipped into much. I will say this just real quick. It is shocking to me as a parent because, you know, since I'm here and involved and I'm looking at the same sort of TV that my kids are watching, I step in a lot to just like search through kids shows to find new stuff for Daphne to watch so that it's not so fucking annoying or like super dumb or whatever. And it is like, if you think that you already know how much inane and endless amounts of kid crap is available on streaming services, you don't even know like the tenth of it. Like, it is this endless well of content and new shows and things that you've never seen before that you stumble across that have like 8 season and 500 episodes, and it just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Like, it is to be a child today with an iPad and connection to Netflix, like, you could just forever.
Okay, so primarily Netflix. Watch
something twice.
Or is I kind of figured it would, that database would be in all of them with different stuff. Like Netflix would have a huge pile of it, and Amazon and Disney. Yes.
That is the case, yes. And each one of those streaming services is an endless well, because I guess it's,
yeah,
they most bang for their buck and put the least amount of effort into it.
Yeah.
And you cross the entire spectrum of shit. You come across stuff that's like, wow, this is really impressive. I can't even believe this exists for like 4 to 5 year old kids.
I wonder what the way
to the other end, where it's like, oh, this is the shit that people in politics are always getting upset about.
I wonder what the metrics are on the engagement, like what you need to do to keep a child engaged versus what you need to do to keep an adult engaged.
Mm. Oh yeah, the kid, you got to hit him hard.
Yeah.
Big smooth 3D graphics.
I mean, the answer, I think, is to both, is potentially Jake Gyllenhaal.
Let's do it.
It's now time for Obsernathans with Nathan.
I just want to make a quick observation, then we'll jump right into the trailers about remakes, reboots, and rebookwels, and it feels like I'm being surrounded by them. Did I just notice it now, or has it been happening the whole time?
It's been happening the whole time, and we've been documenting it here.
Yeah, we've been complaining about this on this show
for
a decade.
Most of these terms we created here on this show. Rebookwels, interquels.
Yes, and I acknowledge that, but I'm saying that recently it feels like I'm surrounded by it, like I'm being backed into a corner.
Yeah, I think entertainment, like much else going on in our lives, is starting to just collapse in on itself.
Mm-hmm. Because we're talking like Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Beetlejuice, Alien, Romulus, Happy Gilmore 2, Scream 7, The Crow, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Twisters, Boondock Saints are going to do another one. Little Shop of Halloween Horrors is doing another one. And Naked Gun is being rebooted with Liam Neeson. Can you just calm down?
Yeah. New ideas are dead. They don't care. I'm sure that there's like, you know, how they used to be, we're going to remake these famous properties once a generation or once every other generation. I think because of the digital age, now there's like a digital generation where you're so inoculated and inundated with content that your brain can only retain like 7 years of it. So now I think they're just like rebooting and adding to franchises within that time frame. Just go. And we're going to do it again.
That means we're overdue for Harry Potter to be rebooted, and we're overdue for Lord of the Rings to be rebooted.
Yes. Harry Potter will be rebooted first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ones. Lord of the Rings has sort of a rabid fan base. I think that they would be reluctant to touch on that. Harry Potter, the fan base has skewed and split because of all the transgender shit with Rowling and everything. So now there's like, it's not sacred anymore. They will remake that one very soon, I'm sure.
Hmm. And I want to also say that franchises seem to be like afraid of losing their hold on the audience. Like Jurassic Park is a good example. Like I feel like they just keep making them because they're terrified of not being a part of the cultural canon. To the point where people forget and don't care. Godzilla is another one. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you really doing this? Like, what is
it looks
this?
Funny, though.
Godzilla X Kong. Like, what? You already did that. So what is this? What is this?
Well, the first time they were enemies. This time they're like, it's like a buddy cop movie.
Okay. I don't understand.
What's funny, though, is that Japan's doing the same thing, but they're like killing it.
Yeah. 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 They had like a... something Godzilla Minus One or something was the name of it.
Yeah.
And that one did pretty well. And they had like a, what was it? Godzilla mayor of the city for a day or something in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently.
It's because like, I don't think the Western like Hollywood sort of motif or structure really fits with Godzilla very well. They don't know how to do it. When they did it in 98, they did it Hollywood style and it was like super weird and lame. And they took a long time, then they did it again with Bryan Cranston. It was a much better attempt, but it was still like a lot of human drama.
I like that trailer.
One more monster.
That trailer was cool. They were skydivers are falling out of the sky with the red smoke coming off of them.
Yeah. So finally they were like, I don't know, I guess we'll just make it fucking like really bonkers and neon and bright and CGI.
Kong Skull Island was the pinnacle. Come on.
Correct.
Come on. That was the pinnacle.
I think you were just in a good mood when you saw that movie.
I still like it. I own it. I bought it. I like it. Oh, and one note here. Housekeeping. Nicolas Cage has come out and surprisingly said that he thinks he has 3 or 4 more movies left in him.
He's lying.
I'm just telling you what the man said. He said somebody was asking him about National Treasure 3 again, and he was sick of hearing about it, and he said, I think I have 3 or 4 movies left in me, and that's it. And it's one of them is not going to be National Treasure 3, because Disney can't be trusted.
Yeah, I don't really trust him, but weirdly, of all the actors, and they all seem to come out and want to say this from, you know, oh, I'm going to quit after this one, or, you know, I got like this many more left in me. Weirdly, I kind of believe Nick Cage the most. He does seem to have some sort of weird internal checklist of like, okay, I think I've done every part that's really worth doing.
Yeah. Some of them go. And I got huge, huge respect for actors that just walk away and retire. Same. Like Gene Hackman. His last movie was Welcome to Mooseport with Ray Romano. And he walked. He had a date for retirement. That was my last movie. I'm out.
Yeah. I also respect it when they do that. But I don't know. I don't really believe him. Fucking Bill Murray was another person who I believed would also just like retire and walk away. And he's in the new Ghostbusters movie looking all of 95 years old. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys like those Ghostbusters movies. That's another one. Won't go away. They ruined it, and then they just keep ruining it again. That's why it's so important that Zemeckis and Gale stopped Back to the Future from being remade. Do you understand that it would be everywhere if they didn't do that?
I do. I do know that.
Anyway, in honor of Carl Weathers dying, we're not going to do the best lineup in the world universe clip. We're going to do the battle cry from Predator in tribute to Carl Weathers. Headliner is Civil War.
Civil War, here we go.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
We're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
Ethan, Civil War, worried or excited?
Well, it looks like Ron Swanson won the presidency and then ran everything into the ground.
Yeah. That's the only way to interpret it, really.
I like some of the finer points of the clip. Like at the very beginning of the trailer, it says it implies that it is a third term presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that clearly that Ron Swanson went in there and started firing people, removing all regulations, and, you know, that's, you know, this rash behavior by the president, this crazy behavior, just deregulating everything, going crazy. Somehow, something he did during that craziness bonded California and Texas in a way that they haven't bonded ever before.
Right.
To ever. Rise up and do this. I mean, come on, guys. It's Alex Garland. He makes quality movies. It looks like a little bit like fear porn, predictive programming maybe, but of course it's going to be quality. The man hasn't made any trash movies.
It's true. It's a weird one to approach because you have to know going in, like, almost no one would be happy how it... Maybe he does. Maybe he wraps it up at the end in a way that's like, oh, okay, everyone can be on board with this. Because otherwise, how is this movie anything but just like a division bomb that you throw out into a very testy political atmosphere?
Already volatile population. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. It looks, it's going to be high quality, well executed.
It's gasoline.
That's what it seems like.
That's what it feels like.
Being poured on a fire because this is the most contentious presidential election probably in history. People are going to be, from a media standpoint, it's going to be a fucking shit show.
Yeah, and I, in my lifetime living in America, have never once ever thought that Civil War was even like a possibility. And I still don't think so now. I think everyone's just too lazy and fat to really just like cross the line and kill each other. But
is there a chance that this movie gives people like rational thought? Like they walk away from the movie like being less attracted to drama? Like, okay, we got to get it. We got to stop this division. Like,
That must be the that's like the only narrow passage I can see for why you would want to go with a movie like this.
I think
that's what I meant earlier by like maybe he does have a way that it ends where it's like, oh fuck,
let's all
put down our differences and hug each other.
Thank you for saying that again, because I've watched this trailer many times and I never once thought or had that thought that you have now mentioned twice, which is how do you end this movie? How does a Civil War movie, a present-day Civil War movie about America, how does it end?
Like an M. Night twist.
Yeah, they're just like in a simulation.
Yeah. Whoa. Whew. Yeah, that was weird. No way, California and Texas, whatever.
It's just Trump wakes up like, oh.
There it is. That's how it ends. I just don't, yeah, like a cliffhanger with a sequel. We're going to do a Civil War trilogy over the entire second Trump presidency, if that's what takes place. So, we're all concerned. Trailer number two is, well, you guys have been shitting on Jake for some time now, and he's back. He's fucking back, baby.
Hey, Jake! Hey! Jake!
We've all seen the movie already, but we're going to watch the trailer and then we're going to have an open table discussion about Jake's greatness. Daniel, please take us into the Roadkill trailer. I meant Roadhouse. Right, that was my cue.
Roadhouse. Here we go.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
About, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right?
What?
Oh.
So you like to fight. You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
This ain't the Holiday Inn, pal.
I'm moving.
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys. Lately, it's been attracting the wrong clientele. I can pay you good money. Judging by your car, you need that.
Well, I like my car.
Think about it.
I know who you are. Elwood Dalton, Big Bandit.
That guy's got a knife under his shirt. You just take a big step back and pop me in the face. You can do it.
Tell me about this bouncer.
He acts all nice, like he's Mr. Rogers or something. But then he'll haul off. Really interesting guy, overall.
Brand wants to take the roadhouse away from me.
He wants to build some resort.
I should warn you. People have a certain way of getting things done around here.
Hey, fellas. Looks like you're having a smashing night. Dalton! I got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close. Come on, bro.
Let me guess. You know, threaten me. Tell me to get out of town.
I get the impression that he can't be threatened.
Once Knox is on the job, it's over, baby.
It takes a lot to get me angry, but when I am, I just can't let go.
People seem a little aggressive around here.
Is that one a friend of yours?
No, I just broke his arm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Open discussion since we've already seen all of us have already seen it.
First of all, great trailer.
I mean, no, that's actually what I was going to say. The trailer is not good. I have to take exception to the trailer because the trailer showed you all of the best parts of the movie. And it is a problem with these streaming services not knowing how to make a good trailer because they show you the whole thing.
Right. Trailer is like an inviting.
It's supposed to make you
like a lure.
It's a lure.
They give you a summary. Yeah.
I respectfully disagree. I think the trailer jacks you up. It's a dick flick. There's lots of dick happening.
Yeah, it's a dick flick. Yeah. And but then you saw the biggest boners in that trailer. It didn't save any of the good schlongs for the movie.
What I think is amusing is that it doesn't matter how good this movie was or is. This is the kind of movie that will bring the dumb dick energy sauntering over. Guys that don't watch movies and don't give a shit about movies are going to be like, oh, Conor McGregor's in a movie. Dude, let's watch this. This is going to have audience and it's going to do well. I don't know why it isn't in theaters though. And the director's also spouting off about this. I think it's bullshit.
I don't know. Would this draw a big theater audience? I think a lot of people will watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well it would do at a theater. It's a tough decision. I almost feel like maybe it's the way to go because then it's just like people discover it and it gets sort of a word of mouth following from being available as opposed to it like not doing well at the box office and then getting kind of tarnished and people not checking because of that.
Daniel, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
I know, but Amanda and I were having this discussion, which is I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's fun in this Roadhouse movie as Dalton, but I'm just bewildered by his career and decisions and just like motivations in general. Cause he seems to have like, fuck you money, Radcliffe. I'm just going to like do whatever I want that I think is fun at the moment kind of vibe to him. But his decisions are like in a very weird, narrow band.
It feels like he really desperately wants to be an action star.
Yeah, that's what he's doing now.
He can't land a good one for some reason.
Well, he was doing all those dramas for the longest time, right? Like Demolition and Stronger and all that stuff. And he was working with Villeneuve before that, doing Prisoners and Enemy. And it was during the Prisoners and Enemy and Nightcrawler time that you were just like, Jesus, great decisions. But then he made those weird drama decisions, and he built his own production company, and he's now making decisions, I think, with the business of the production company in mind. Like, they've optioned Tom Clancy Rainbow Six bullshit, and he's going to do that, and he's going to try to, like, you know, like, if they offered him Batman in the DCU, which they might do, because they already approached him about Batman in the past, if James Gunn goes to Gyllenhaal and offers him Batman, he'll say yes in a heartbeat, because he's trying to get, like, money to have this production company. But I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but
all of that analysis of him was from a positive place. Like, because I like Jade. I just find it, like, bewildering watching his career, because he also doesn't seem to really lose any favor or capital with anyone. Like, even if stuff tanks or doesn't do well, or is his name kind of goes away for a while,
that's
whenever
true.
He comes back and wants to do something, everyone's like, yeah, all right.
yeah, sure. You want to do that thing? Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I agree with all of that. I think we could maybe do, like, a quick comparison here between the new Roadhouse and the old Roadhouse, because I watched about half of the old Roadhouse this morning, and I've seen it enough times that I just wanted to rewatch some of it this morning to know for sure, because I actually thought the new one was maybe on par or better than the original.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I turned on the old Patrick Swayze one, and I'm like, yeah, it's not that far off. This old movie is not that good.
Actually, I'll throw this out, because this was a happy surprise for me, because the old Roadhouse, it takes the notion of bouncing very seriously in a way that only an 80s movie can.
Yeah.
And I was, like, kind of concerned about that premise still holding up in the 2020s. And even though it does mimic all the beats of the original movie, especially in the first half, it takes it almost like at a more comedic and lighthearted, almost parody type level, because the goons are, like, hilarious and dumb. And so, like, I almost appreciated that it had that that comedic tone to it in the first half of the movie, because yes, I think that lands better with some of those absurd notions, like being a bouncer or even a famous bouncer after being a fighter.
Yeah.
And training other bouncers and everything. It's just really, bounce centric.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And the Sam Elliott character is missing from this.
Yeah, totally gone.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it, but it's also like, I don't know, you could have done something with it.
Yeah, maybe. And I do like that the bookstore is the catalyst for him losing it. He was about to walk away, which is more in line with who his character was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
You can answer this for us. Does he, in the original, because I can't remember the very beginning of the movie, does he sit on the train tracks? And
No.
Okay, yes,
because I was like, I don't remember Swayze being like a depressive.
Borderline suicidal? No. No, that doesn't happen. What does, I think there's a few tribute points. One tribute point is nobody ever wins in a fight. That's verbatim. And the throat punch, they did an homage to it. They didn't do the throat rip. The original Roadhouse was like, Dalton killed a man by ripping his throat out, and he got off with self-defense, but we know it wasn't self-defense. And all the goons in the old one this morning, I was offended by the ragtag group of losers that they had from that Jackie Treehorn guy. Because it's the same guy in the old Roadhouse, the guy that plays Brad Wesley, the overseer of the town, the bad guy. In the old Roadhouse, that same actor played Jackie Treehorn in Big Lebowski. So every time I see him in my head, I'm like, "Hey, dude, I'm Jackie Treehorn." But anyway, the whole
it was such a wild ride. I was watching it last night because I referenced the movie as the first half while I'm talking a lot, because I feel like it kind of loses its comedic tone in that second half.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
It gets, like, real serious and almost has, like, a too long
action climax. It drags in the end.
Well, I feel like that's the same. Like, I've watched enough movies now where I'm exhausted by the conclusion of movies sometimes.
Yeah, like this is, like, there's a lot. Like, again, like a...
Action movies, they start to blow everything up and do their big conclusion, and I'm just like, ugh, I'm bored by that point. But I like all the jumpy music at the beginning of this movie. I liked all of that. And they went with different musical acts behind the...
We were laughing about that. We're like, how does this tiny-ass town have, like, 17 different bluesy rock bands that are all diverse.
But the original had like the Jeff Healey band in there the whole time.
Yeah.
And but there was a homage to the Cage, right? The
Yes. I was glad to see that, because when they first got there, I was like, "What is this swank, nice looking tiki bar? Yeah. This is the place with the lesbian waitress. This is the place that is rough and tumble." Like,
yeah, I like that too. I had the same reaction. I was just like, "This is a nice bar. What do they need help for?
Nothing's... I want to hang out here. It's a great patio.
Yeah, nothing's broken. What are you talking about?"
But yeah, then we also had this observation, because I'm going to say this carefully, because this was a weirdly neutral, hilarious observation. The casting throughout the entire movie, and I mean every level of it, extras, the bands that played, people that were in the movie that had lines,
the gang members,
everybody. This was like, it was like so perfectly diverse. I felt like it was just like an AI cast this movie.
I didn't even notice that.
Because it wasn't done in a woke way or like any sort of agenda-driven way. It was just like done in an almost computerish way. It was like so perfectly diverse. I was like, everything.
Well,
front to back. I was like, wow, this is like a perfect pattern.
I felt Jessica Williams, the owner, was miscast. But
that was a weird switch, right?
Yeah. Well, just because when I looked her up, I thought I recognized her from somewhere else. And I thought she had done more, but she was just like a Daily Show correspondent. And she was in the Fantastic Beasts movies, which I haven't seen. So I'm like, I don't really know this person.
Ah, so satisfying. Because, yeah, when I was watching it and I was like, oh, man, where do I know her? Like Daily Show? So, yes. Yeah. Still got.
Yeah. But a Daily Show correspondent is the owner of the bar. Like, it's just,
Yeah, it took us a while to figure out, like, oh, she inherited this place. Because I was like, is she rich? Is she, like, a villain also, like a competing drug dealer? What is it? What is this?
Right. Yeah, no, it's all permissible and doable under the inheritance.
That was also weird, because, like, our villain, what is he really? You're like, oh, he's not, like, a drug. He just wants to build a resort.
Yeah.
In other words, bring more money into this community.
Yeah, and...
and help the people with the bookstore.
Yeah. How is this bookstore surviving?
Yeah. They would actually have a successful business if they built a resort there, because then there would be people checking out the quaint little stores.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I will say though, that was like a great villain introduction, was him getting shaved on like the choppiest fucking waters on the boat.
It was hysterical.
That was hilarious. And Conor McGregor's intro. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's like Fast and the Furious level, like push things into nonsense. He's walking around naked, hunting people. He looks like a fucking psychopath. And all the UFC fans are probably like, yeah, woo! Probably love it.
Yeah, hey. So it was just so bizarre. Like, everything was so bizarre, and I like the tone was fun, and... a lot of decisions were like wacky, but you were like, yeah, it all fits in like the wacky vein of this movie. So yes, I'm digging this.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah, no. In terms of what Jake's done recently, this is an improvement, isn't it, Amanda? You could say that.
Oh, a huge improvement over the phone one.
The guilty was that really read like he was just looking to do something during the pandemic. Like they were looking for something to do. That's what it read like. Honestly. And now that you know where these clips are from, they're more funny to you, right? Because you've watched Training Day now?
Jay! I need my money!
Yeah. It's hilarious that I forever thought that Jake Gyllenhaal was the receiving end of those lines. He's not.
Because Denzel just yelling at him on set.
And I cut them up to put Jake at the end of everything.
You think you can do this shit? Jay!
Anywho. Let's move on to trailer number 3. I am really interested to hear Daniel's feedback on the next one. Next one is Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil?
Correct.
Here we go.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Delor.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again.
gals, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it. Love it.
I'm trying to host a nationally syndicated talk show.
And I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do live TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
Good to see you again, Jack.
Lily, return to me.
This isn't about ratings anymore.
No one's going anywhere.
How could you let it happen, Jack? How could you let it happen?
Please be warned, anyone with young children in the room.
Go to commercial.
You're about to see.
You okay, Jack?
It's profoundly disturbing and shocking.
You get out there, Mr. Midnight. And you knock him dead.
All right, Daniel, you worried or excited about Late Night with the Devil?
I'm excited to say that for the first time in a long time,
I'm worried.
The horror trailer offering that I can just confidently say, yeah, I'm very excited to see this right away. I feel like most times I have to kind of like work my way through it while I'm talking. It could go either way. I got to worry about my reputation.
Yeah, and you have to like quibble over, was that even a horror trailer, Nathan?
No, this one looks, yeah. Which is funny because I was almost thinking of, it said this is Rosemary's Baby meets Network, which grabbed my attention because I love Network so much. And I was thinking of Network because of the 1970s.
Grain.
Yeah, and decor and hair and everything that they have going on with this trailer. Yes, this looks great. Because I like that 1970s look anyway. It feels like it was the last time, from judging from horror movies and 1970s movies in general, that's the last time that life was really truly kind of scary sometimes. And then like the 80s and 90s and 2000s happened, and technology came in, and internets and cell phones, and like then you were never really truly alone ever again. 1970 seems like it was the last time you were truly ever alone. So like capturing something on television like this, an event like this with people locked in, not having much choice to do on a late night but watch this, and engaging with all these different like potentially true satanic events. And then I like the actor who's playing the host as well in a role like this. I think it fits really, really well.
There's been a lot of buzz about him in this movie since like middle of last year. I knew about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was going in like the festival circuits or whatever, but I think it just actually came out and is available to watch right now.
Yeah,
March 22nd was the release date.
I hope it lives up. It looks really, really good.
Well, it's a unique premise, right? That's what is so, and the quality of the 70s atmosphere plus the unique premise.
Found myself assuming from the title that it was going to be meh.
Right.
Something I'm not interested in. And as the trailer went on, I literally got sat up and leaned in and was really captivated by it. So I think it looks pretty dope and scary.
Yeah.
You could easily take this concept and run the comedy way with it. Like just have like a late night talk show literally with the devil as a host, and then just have it be like a violent,
yeah,
comedic dark movie.
It's just fun to see something a little bit different for me. Because with most horror trailers, you're always dealing with the tropey, like I would say 70% of the time, a horror trailer has this ending with the shrill music and the scream as something comes out of the shadows, or
yeah,
Something comes out of the background
plucking,
in
the high end string of a violin.
Yeah.
To an increasing heart rhythm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to see something at least different. And yeah, I knew this one was on the festival circuit. So I'm kind of intrigued what they're going to do with it. It's just kind of fun to watch it just to see what are they going to do with like all the backstage stuff and when he's going too far and they're like, you got to stop. And he just keeps pushing. And there's got to be some network people in there that are like, no, the ratings are great. Like, there's going to be some other elements.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. I was really hoping the intern was going to jump on at some point so that we could celebrate Sasquatch Sunset the way it needs to be celebrated. For all of those who don't know, Trailer Park Podcast has a history of attempting to compel the intern to watch Sasquatch movies. And we had let it go. It was over. The joke had finished. I gave him a wooden Sasquatch keychain, and that was it. We called it. And then, out of nowhere, a movie festival mainstream Sasquatch film of high quality has arrived.
Something that we know the intern has always asked for.
That's correct. And we're here to celebrate it tonight. Sasquatch Sunset.
Sasquatch Sunset. Here we go. Sasquatch Sunset. Amanda, worried or excited?
Okay. I was on my phone trying to find a runtime for this.
1 hour and 29 minutes.
Okay. It still seems too long. It seems like this joke is a 20-minute max joke. And then I'm going to get tired of watching Jesse Eisenberg and friends pretend to be Sasquatches. I can't believe this exists.
It's a unicorn of a movie, Amanda.
Yeah, that's what they're telling me.
What if this is another Swiss Army Man?
It's not.
I can't definitively tell you it is not.
But I do look forward to the intern watching it. I do for sure, because he's probably going to watch this of his own volition and tell us how yes. Brilliant it is.
That's what I mean. I am so excited for intern to watch this.
Well, that's the beauty of his compulsion. He starts doing things and he has a compulsion to finish doing them. So one of the things he has a compulsion for is watching every movie that Trailer Park Podcast has ever done in its lineup. He's done them all up to a certain point. I think he's pretty close to being finished. So he will definitely watch it, just because he has to say that he's watched them all.
Yeah, and intern is the kind of guy that like just won't do things for himself that he like deep down really wants to do. Like he just won't allow himself those certain pleasures. And watching Sasquatch movies is one of those things. He does truly love it, and he just like, you know, I'm so excited for this to be added to his like his
I
experience.
mean,
there's
if
no one else in this movie. It's just the four of them pretending to be Sasquatches for an hour and a half.
We don't know that for sure. We don't
like
know that
whole
for sure.
stunts and stuff.
What if they held back stuff?
What?
What if there's a whole other human family involved and this becomes like Harry and the Hendersons and they just held it back and they didn't want to
Yeah,
show
what
you the
if
truth?
there's more Sasquatch fucking?
Yeah, maybe this is the first 30 minutes of the movie. Maybe this is the apes with the monolith in 2001.
NC-17? Full Sasquatch penetration?
I would like to make a critical point here. I think they should have went with makeup and hair and bodysuit for Jesse Eisenberg.
But I'm ch
It's clear that they needed to do some makeup there.
A little bit more for him.
He still kind of looked like a Jewish Sasquatch.
You know, if intern was here, you know what he would say?
And that talk.
Exactly, pretty much. Is that enough? Have you guys had? Has the sun set on the Sasquatches for you? Is that?
I was kind of like, where's the rest of the joke?
Where's the joke? Where's the actual? Where's the fucking
Because
joke?
I get it. Yeah, it may be funny to watch them like dick around and be Sasquatches for a little bit, but like surely there's like a oh they encounter human civilization or you know they meet another magical species and they hate each other or something like
Well, you gave Roadhouse Trailer
encounter unicorns and then they like went to war.
you gave Roadhouse Trailer trouble for telling the whole the movie, telling you the whole movie. There's a chance that they've kept something back here. There's a chance. I know I'm just joking. We're joking around, but there's a no side shot.
Yeah, well, that's how you would construct a proper trailer from the good old days, is that you share the joke of them all being famous people playing Sasquatches and doing their thing, show a couple of shticks like they did, and then you have one of them like come into a field and they encounter, I don't know, unicorns or werewolves or and then
Hunters.
it cut to black and it's like, oh, a magical, unique experience of a movie. You never quite know what you're gonna see, and then bam.
Hunters stumble across them, report the situation. The U.S. military comes in. They kill the entire family except for one of them. They cage that Sasquatch and start doing tests on them.
Well,
There's
see,
a.
that's showing too much. Cliffhanger would be like, oh, them, you know, they're doing a joke in a happy meadow or whatever, and then all of a sudden the youngest Sasquatch just gets brutally shot in the head, cut to black.
Well, it's rated R just
now
for the.
we're hooked,
It's rated R for full frontal male nudity.
There's gonna be a
that
lot
just
of
means
Sasquatch dicks.
just gonna be looking at Jesse Eisenberg's penis.
What's that? I don't want to see a Sasquatch version of his penis or his penis. I don't want to see his penis.
They're all gonna have Sasquatch penises, and then they're probably gonna have like one like really aggressive Sasquatch vagina.
You looked up the rating and it says specifically it's about penises?
I looked at the rating and yes, and it says full frontal male nudity.
NC-17.
Oh my God. That was the wrong one. I was disheveled about the penises. Okay, five hole. Give it to me, the fall guy.
The fall guy. Here we go.
In 3, 2, 1.
So
Good.
good.
Oh, good, good, good.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Anyone but him. I didn't approve him. You know that. You are literally the last person on Earth I want to see slap the shit out of you. I really could.
And I'm open to that in a safer environment.
You've been a ghost. No phone call, no text.
It's not like I didn't want to apologize.
You don't have to explain anything. It was just a flame. So how have you been? God, I hate that thumbs up stunk eye stuff.
I'm the director.
We're gonna set this man on fire.
You're a stunt guy. We need to keep it super profesh.
Profesh is my middle name.
You said your middle name was Danger.
How'd we do, boss?
Really?
Yeah.
Holster that.
Yeah, it's holstered. It's done. Forget. You never saw it.
Tom Ryder, the biggest action star on the planet, is missing. You need to bring him back.
On.
Jodie's movie is dead.
Why me?
You're a stuntman. Nobody's gonna notice you. That's your job. No offense.
I mean, some taking.
You find Ryder, save Jodie's film. You get the love of your life back.
I'm not the hero, I'm just the double.
Not today, you're not.
Tom, we already need you back on set, pal.
Dead body on ice?
He was so dead, Gail. He was super dead.
He has got himself involved with some shady people.
I had no choice. I had to do some Jason Bourne shit. They were trying to kill me. And not in a fun way. You can make it, you can make it. You can't make it. It's too dangerous. Gotta be stairs.
What happened to your face? You look terrible.
You look amazing.
You fall down, you get right back up. How far would you go for the one that you love?
I'll buy you a drink when this is over. Engage your core.
Yeah, boy. Stop.
What are you doing later? Want to go to a beach somewhere?
Drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Nathan, bring us home. Ball guy. Worried or excited?
I actually want to do a bit of a Q&A with Amanda.
Okay, I'm ready.
First of all, who generates more reaction from your loins, Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds?
That is literally the most difficult comparison because they're so similar and both so good looking.
They're both good looking, smarmy.
Like smart aleck, charming guys.
Which one to you, in your opinion, this will help inform the question one. Question two, which one, Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling, do you feel, objectively, is more of a man?
I bet Ryan Reynolds is probably more traditionally masculine in his normal life, but I think my loins yearn for Gosling. Because he seems like a nicer person. They both seem nice, but I think like Ryan Gosling has some like embarrassing like past that like makes him more humble, I think.
You're talking about the multiple marriages.
I didn't know that he'd been married multiple times. No, just like his upbringing, the fact that he like didn't you tell me he like couldn't read until he was like 10 years old? Or he got kicked out for like throwing knives at school or something.
He did some interview that I saw with him where he just had all these like hilarious stories about how he was just a bad behavior kid. It's an interesting question, though. Reynolds, Gosling, comparison.
Well, I was thinking about it because, I mean, after we watched this trailer, Chelsea was like, doesn't Amanda love both of them? Which one does she like more? And I was like, that's a really good question. Which Ryan heats her up?
God, both of them. I don't know how you choose one. It's like
so your dream then, going to bed, the ultimate would be a Ryan sandwich.
Yes. That'd be fine.
That would be fine. She says. Yeah, this looks like a lot of fun. I'm excited. This movie is fine. And it doesn't come out in March, it comes out in May. And it's gonna be one of those movies where it's gonna entertain you. That's the whole point. It's going to have some action. It's going to be entertaining. It also has Aaron Taylor Johnson in it, and I like Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's the movie star that he's a stunt double for.
I also, I really like Emily Blunt. Daniel, who hates all women, likes Emily Blunt. So, really? You know, she's in a special class of attractive lady.
Does he have a list, though?
Does he have a whatever Nathan list of...
famous ladies attracted to me. Flat list. I forget what it actually stood for. It didn't stand for that, but...
I thought we had a much more, like, crude one that was, like, famous women... who may accept my seed or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was probably disgusting. Yes, it was probably gross. Yes. But it was my list, and I was the one boldly going out and, you know, demonstrating, this is my list of women that I would give my seed to, and yes, I'll be gay with Jake. And you never came to the table with any embarrassing lists or anything. So I'd like to know, who is it? Who gets your loins going, Daniel? Is it Emily? What else? Who else? Let's go.
Yeah, Emily's there. I mean... if we have to throw a guy on there.
Cavill,
yeah. Or Rockwell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, Rockwell's like kind of a little bit different category.
Yeah, you just like want to be him.
Yeah. Cavill, there's like I want to be your bro. And then also if it's like gun to my head, like you got to gay out with somebody, I'm like, Cavill, I guess.
You know, we started talking about guys really quickly.
That's what you said, embarrassing. Is there like an embarrassing actress that I could throw on there? Where I'm like, oh, you know.
I just thought you would like
Kathy Bates and About Schmidt, that hot tub scene. Oof.
I thought you would throw down some more
you
ladies.
You went there really quick. That was a very obscure pull, and you just had it at the ready.
It's because it traumatized me, because I saw that movie like right around the same time that I was like reading and watching Misery.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, man, this shattered that.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car. Anyway.
Embarrassing ones? I don't know. When I was younger, I had embarrassing ones because they kind of like, I think they all turned out to be lesbian. I like Jodie Foster and Gina Davis.
Gina Davis turned out to be lesbian?
Isn't she?
I think so.
Really?
I think she is.
What?
I think so. I could be wrong, Gina. But I think she is.
We lost Gina. Jodie, it made sense for me. Once it came out that she was a lesbian, I was like, oh, I see it. And then ever since then, I've been like, oh, I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it made sense. Ever since McConaughey, you know.
And kinda, Contact, yeah.
Kind of stroked her weirdly visible breasts in a PG-13 movie in Contact.
Yeah.
Even then, I knew. It was like, it just didn't look right.
Yeah, and she really cares about the SETI project and doesn't care about him at all. Using him for sex. Something seems off. He's out of her league.
Daniel is largely only attracted to cartoon versions of his wife. So
I get it. That's married man like treading softly. Be embarrassing. Mention other ladies. Let's talk about guys. That's the safe play.
No, but there are ladies, right? I like the Belcher mother. From Bob's Burgers. What's her name?
Linda.
Linda.
Linda. You're actually talking about cartoons. Okay.
Yeah. Pam from Archer.
Pam Poovy from Archer. That's that's his wife.
If my wife did cocaine and had a death wish, like that's pretty much who it would be. Yeah.
Skillful. He's very skillful. Always has been. Okay.
Let's go back to the movie. I think I want this to be fun. I hope it's fun. It looks like it's fun. It may kind of like hit that middling level. There's always that kind of fear with these movies because I feel like all the smartiest comedic actors do one of these. Feels like a very Tom Cruise-y film.
When was the last one of these that hit, like really hit?
I don't know. But it looks fun. I like Blunt, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of just like. I really like the way they did that scene of her just like swooning as he's like later and jumps off to grab the helicopter. That was really well done. And then in the weird like Ryan debate, I think just objectively, I think Gosling comes across as the more masculine one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he maybe is a little bit dumber.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the image. I doubt that either one of them is dumb at all. But Reynolds has more of that bouncing, sarcastic asshole vibe, which kind of generates like a neutral, not masculine or feminine.
I feel more drawn to Gosling simply because I think he's capable of doing more. I think his range is much larger. There's nothing that he couldn't do. I would trust him being cast in anything. And Ryan Reynolds, whenever he gets cast in something, it then, like, I feel like it's going to become smarmy because he's there. Like, he's not capable of doing something not Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
But that may just be because he's found his niche and stuck to it instead of deviating. And I think Ryan Gosling has deviated here and there, like Blade Runner and Notebook, and he's done other things that are more serious.
Oh yeah, Gosling's like an actor.
Yeah.
And Reynolds, I think, is just like, oh, if I could just be a comedic actor forever, then that's what I'll do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
I'm just gonna buy soccer clubs and do what I want.
Make booze. Here we go. I feel like they all have a booze company though. Like,
they are. It's getting out of control with the celebrities having alcohols.
Yeah.
I assume that's just a way for them to, like, I don't know, circulate money or
something.
It's an
easy
way.
It's
got to be some sort of accounting.
If it makes money, great. If it loses money, great. We've got a shell, you know, we've got a tax shelter and.
There it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Whatever.
That's what it is. Oh, one more note about this movie. That Aaron Taylor Johnson guy. You know who I'm talking about when I say that?
Mm-hmm.
He was in Bullet Train and he's in this and he was kick-ass.
Yeah.
Allegedly, he's been offered James Bond. So, take that.
Mm.
Supposedly.
It would be like a very lateral move.
Yeah.
Right?
If he says yes, then he's 33 and we're going to have like 5 Bond films with Aaron Taylor Johnson just doing the same thing that Daniel Craig just did. So.
Yeah. If they wanted to, like, lighten it up a little bit and kind of go for a Roger Moore era, I wouldn't mind that. I didn't want that, like, 15 years ago, but then we got so many very serious, competent ones that I'm like, okay, cool, we tread this ground. Should we,
Yeah.
Maybe go back to gadgets and, you know, villains with weird bullshit traits?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have some more fun with it. It'll always depend on the scripts and the people around it. Apparently, MGM was purchased by... Was it Amazon? So this would be the first Bond reboot with more than MGM involved. So we'll see. And that's that. And thanks for coming out. It's nice to see you guys. It's nice to chat. It's a shame the intern couldn't join us.
Yeah, not very 152 of intern. Yeah,
it's very small dick energy of intern.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. I mean, he's not here to defend himself. But I mean, let's be honest. If he was here.
I don't think he would defend himself.
No. It's okay. It's all made up for because the Sasquatch sunset.
Yeah.
So
I mean, what
turn he walks away with something.